Anyway. Such a mess. Oh, sorry. Sorry. It's been interesting this morning coming and watching people not coping with the rubbish. How did you go? Half and half. So many people just wanted to pick it up. I had to restrain some people. Poor Adrian Lepp was... What will I do? Every fibre of his being could not cope. And now, on top of all that, I've dragged a wheelie bin into our Easter service. Someone said, aren't you using the pulpit today? I said, yes, I've got my own. Let's be honest. Rubbish, wheelie bins are offensive. They're dirty, smelly, horrible things. But let me ask you this. As offensive as this wheelie bin is, how else do we get rid of our rubbish? How can we get rid of our rubbish without the good old wheelie bin? And let's be honest. I mean, who wants to be a garbage collector? My ambition in life is to collect rubbish. That's my goal. I am studying hard. I'm going to go to university and I am going to collect rubbish. That's my career path. I mean, we don't choose it, do we? It's smelly, it's dirty, it's horrible work. It's not pretty. So kids, this morning I need some help. Do you want to help me pick up the rubbish? Come on, let's pick up the rubbish. You might like to help me. Come on. No, leave.
I was thinking that Jesus was going to come in, right?
Right, I'll take those. Oh, no, leave those ones for me. No, I want it. Can I have them? Got it all? Oh, no, they're mine. No, you can put that. All done? Man, it's hard to protect the rubbish you want. Oh, dear. I mean, sorry, Ben. I mean, it's interesting to think about our world. It is interesting to think about it because one way of seeing it is a place where that is buried in garbage, a place groaning under the weight of sin, of pain, of suffering and evil. And yes, as we saw last Sunday, as we considered the scriptures together, we saw that the Bible's description of us is that we are dead in sin. Remember how we used a medical image to help us understand what that meant. We picked up on this idea that humanity, yes, all of us are desperately sick. And not only that, but this disease we suffer from is the consequence of our own choices and actions. We are getting what we deserve. But what we need to hear this morning as we come together on this Good Friday morning is that weaving its way through the pages of the Bible is this clear message of hope declaring God's heart to remove the rubbish, to have a clean up the world campaign like no other, to have a an immunization campaign, if you will, that will rid the world once and for all of this dreaded disease. That's what the death of Jesus is all about. Paul gave us such a clear description in Ephesians of the impact of the death of Jesus. He writes in Ephesians 1 verse 7, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." Did you notice how all that is being described here starts with God himself? It is in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God is the initiator. Someone had to say, it had to start somewhere, and someone had to say, "I am going to clean up this mess." It wasn't us. It was God himself. God chose to clean the garbage up. And what is amazing is that he acts not according to who we are. We're the ones who threw the rubbish around. Well, it was me this morning. But he doesn't act according to who we are or what we deserve, but according to his own person and character. He steps in and acts towards us in love, mercy, and kindness. And he does it without restraint. He lavishes, he showers, he floods us with his grace. What a wonderful word. It's not a stinginess here. Oh, this person deserves more than that. Oh, that person was good. None of that exists. It's God just flooding us out of his being, giving us not what we deserve, but what he chooses to give us. And the outworking of this deluge of grace is redemption and forgiveness. Redemption, as many of us would know, is a slave market term. In the first century slavery system, a person wasn't condemned to being a slave all their life. Just think of that. You're a slave. You are not condemned to being a slave your entire life. It is possible to get out of your slavery according to the system. It was possible to be set free. You see, someone could enter into the slave market. Someone could, on your behalf, pay a price that causes you to be set free. That's what redemption is. It's a redemption price. And indeed, that's what God has done for us. That's what we remind ourselves of this morning. We had become slaves, caught up in our own garbage. But God walked into the slave market and acted to set us free. He forgives us. To forgive someone is to set them free from their debt, to no longer hold against them what they have done towards us. Yes, you've done this. Yes, you've hurt me. Yes, you've insulted me. Yes, you've ripped me off. But I release you from that debt. I set you free. I forgive you. And what we need to appreciate this morning is that our garbage, our sin, is offensive to God. I kind of wrestled this morning a little bit with whether I would bring a recycling bin in or one of the unemptied garbages in. And I wanted to bring the unemptied garbage bin in so you would sit there and think, this is putrid. Doesn't this stink? How dare he do that? That's horrible. To help us understand how offensive our garbage is in God's nostrils. When we sinned, we acted against God. As David, the ancient songwriter, put it, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. But God acted to forgive us, to take our sin away, to remove the offensive thing that stands between us and him. And we see also in Ephesians here that he did it through his blood. I love the way N.T. Wright puts it. God cannot start the work of healing the world unless he provides the antidote to the infection. And that antidote is the death of Jesus. He died for our sin. He died in our place. He took upon himself the punishment we deserve. He is the redemption price. He paid the price that we might be set free. Through his death, there is forgiveness. Our sin is taken away. In the scriptures we have sung this morning, and read this morning, the songs we have sung, we've been reminding ourselves of how ugly the death of Jesus was. We need to appreciate that it was a scene of horror and brutality. I mean, listen to the language of Isaiah, the ancient Jewish prophet. Listen to his language that he prophetically used to describe Jesus' death. Let the words sink in. Despised. Rejected. Suffering. Pain. Stricken. Afflicted. Pierced. Crushed. Wounded. Oppressed. Slaughtered. It's a horrendous picture. And indeed, a Roman crucifixion was barbarity at its greatest. No, this was not a pretty scene. But friends, removing garbage never is. It never is. It's smelly, dirty work. And kids, go wash your hands after the service because you've picked up dirty things. And yet, there is a sense in which this scene of the cross, is the most beautiful scene the world has ever encountered. How can it be such horror, such brutality, such cruelty is yet such beauty? Maybe because of the Apostle Paul and how he put it helps us understand this from Romans. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us to take it away. It was for all of us. He's taken it away. That's what he did at the cross. He dragged it away. No more. Gone. I think there's an aspect of this that we need to think about this morning, this amazing thing that God has done, where he acted to take away our sin, to conquer death once and for all. You know, we can believe that Jesus was a real person. He existed in history. We can believe that, yes, Jesus was killed on a Roman cross. And yes, the evidence suggests that he rose from the dead. We can believe that. We can accept that as actual facts. But friends, unless we have come to that place and said, I'm full of sin. Who can deliver me from this garbage? Me, not someone else, but me. Who can set me free? Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. Against you and you only, God, have I sinned. Yes, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's a totally other thing to actually repent, turn away from sin and ask him to take it away. And friend, if you've never done that before in your life, I want to give you an opportunity just in this moment, in this quiet moment, to quietly just to cry out to God, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. God, oh, I hate my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done, for who I am. I can see it in myself and I need you. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus' death on the cross forgives my sin. I believe that. I take hold of it today. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. Yes, Father, we thank you that you acted. You didn't leave the garbage lying around. You didn't leave us with a world buried in sin. But you acted. As horrible as the act was, that's what was needed. And you did it. Thank you, God. Thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your willing obedience that your blood was shed for us. And yes, thank you that today we who believe in you have received you can declare at the top of our lungs, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been taken away. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, this morning, if you've prayed, if you've said, yeah, actually, I asked Jesus into my life, come and talk to me or to a brother or sister that you know. You need someone to journey with you and to talk more with you. And we'd love to take that journey with you.